sure of St.
Peter. I said no, something is available.
Don't think it proves.
He'll be sharing a reflection from the position of the teacher.
Just don't talk.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, I have a microphone, but I don't have it on, right? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
I think I have it on.
Oh, do I? Okay.
Has he got it on?
Do I? No. I don't know.
We can hear you.
Yes.
You can hear me? This is, it's pretty live in here.
Is it coming through the mic or not? Is it coming through the mic?
I don't know, or if it should.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right, we can worry about that. I just have to say, to begin, I'm now seeing familiar faces, folks who were gathered yesterday and some folks that I get to meet. It's just been a real privilege to share something of your journey in terms of preparation and then actually being together. So before I talk about my thoughts about the scriptures today, I just would like to express that. So it's somewhat unusual that all three of the readings carry a similar theme. The way the liturgical year is designed, it, it's usually the reflection of something from what we as might call the Old Testament or the ancient writings prior to the Christian writings, and then the Gospel itself, that those themes might parallel, and then the middle is usually some reflection from one of the letters of Paul or moving through that. But Randy and I both remarked yesterday that it's like, these kind of all fit together and sort of fit together with what we've been talking about over the weekend. A little bit of background, just a little bit of Bible study that you can have then in the back of your head. The piece that we heard from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, as the scholars tell us, there are in three parts, and the center part is really the oldest part in terms of how the book of Isaiah came to be written. And the prophet is speaking, or the prophecy is coming at a time of the Babylonian captivity. So the people of Israel have been taken, they're in Babylon, and that's the part that is the core of the prophecy, that he formed me as a servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him, and Israel gathered to him, because they're someplace else. So this is the promise. But they're in the midst of, they haven't celebrated it yet, you know, so, but they're being told that this is going to happen, and this prophecy is to then bring Israel into its place and its relationship with God. But also, there's this part at the end that, you know, the Lord says, my servant, I will raise you up from the tribes of Jacob, of course. But more than that, I mean, there's more. I will make you a light to the nations. You know, so it's not just the prophet himself, and it's not just to Israel, but it's going to move out into the whole world. going to go on where Paul will be admonishing. So it's all really nice there at the beginning, but then it's like it's going to be about you're not being, you're giving lip service to your faith, and there's too much accommodation to the world where you're living, and you need to come back to who you really are. And who they really are a people who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus to be holy. And I know for myself I need to be reminded of what my real call is from now and then. But it's not just you, people of Corinth. The call to be holy with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, as we heard in the section from Isaiah that it's going to go out to all the nations, the people of Corinth, the faithful of Corinth, are not just this little group of, well, they weren't so little, but this group of people, that it's just about them, but it's about their connection then to the rest of the faith community, that it goes out into the world. And certainly, we see that in the opening of John's announcement to those who come to be baptized, and into the midst of that comes this man who is baptized, who John calls the Lamb of God, who will take away the sins of the world. Not just the sins of us gathered here, not just Israel, but of the world. So again, there's this universal dimension to it. And I think for myself that I'm invited, and I offer a bit of your thoughts about that, to, yes, I personally am invited into a relationship with the Lord. But if I'm open to it, it seems like a big part of that personal relationship is that I'm invited into a community, a gathering, why not unlike this gathering here, of people, what was the phrase you used in that homily? Soul speaks to soul? Yeah, where we find other people who have been connected in that way. But then I think today the scriptures challenge us to think about the fact that we're not just called to our own personal journey, and we're not just called to be on a journey of the people of faith, but somehow then we are connected to Christ's own ministry that takes us out into the world, however that is expressed. I think that we all then enter into a dialogue, a discernment of, that's a better word, with ourselves personally and then also within the community of how we're being called out, you know, out there. For some people, that's literally to travel to a different place in the world and connect with a, you know, a community of faith somewhere, you know, somewhere else. We, there at the Center for Respite Care, had the great privilege of having a volunteer, Sister Teresa, who's a sister of Notre Dame de Moore. She has a social work background, a very dynamic personality. She was working in one of our local large soup kitchens doing counseling and that kind of thing. And then with the pandemic, they had to find a different way to be getting food and resources out to people. So they had to downsize, and Sister found herself looking for something else, and she found us, and so she came and was very involved in working with. I remember coming through, and she's got one of the tables in the common room, and it's all filled with paper, and she's working with one of the clients. I'll call him Philip, I can't remember who it was, but she's working with Philip. And what she's doing is going through all this paperwork and getting it ordered. We're going to get this into the mill folders, and you're going to write what this is on, and then you will have it instead of just stuffed in your backpack, you know, like you do. You'll have all that organized. But other things she would do would be like arts and crafts and all that kind of thing would come in, and she had a lot of seasonal stuff come through, and on people's their bedroom doors would be a heart for Valentine's Day with their name done and delivered, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, you get a picture of what my sister does. Well, now she's working at the Sisters of Notre Dame Day and More have an outreach in Kenya. And she's part of the No Bishop team working with the young women who are in formation there. Sister Teresa is 84 years old. I should be so filled with energy as the next, you know, zero behind my name. We get these letters, you know, she'll write back in to her people, and there's just these wonderful stories of goings on in Nairobi and the way the Lord is present to them. So yeah, some people are called to another place. Sometimes that's working out of our own, you know, situation. I like to think that the world that Randy and I were in that particular time in the very early 80s in that neighborhood, that it was out of our working very locally that these, especially Tender Mercies, which provides housing for people with a background of homelessness and chronic mental illness. But that was a very local kind of thing. Now it's grown, and it's become, I think, a city on the hill, a light to other, you know, to other people. We've had people from other parts of the country come and see the model, you know, and all that. His last days, am I saying that correctly? I think that would be a wonderful example of how one or a group responds. We have musical talents, we have, you know, this thing's been written, we're trying to get, you know, this choral group behind it, and then the soloists, and then take it on the road, you know, and have it be a source of reflection and really good theater. I've watched the whole thing, or not the whole thing, but certainly parts of it, very sophisticated. And so I just invite us to think about that sort of thing as we reflect today. How is my relationship going? How are we as a community going? Are we open? Are we seeing the Holy Spirit as John saw the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus? And then how are we being called forward? How am I being called forward? How are we as a community being called forward? And to whom are we being called forward? I think the other part of that is to look at it from John's perspective. I did not know him, but I saw the Spirit descend on him. And then that's how John knew. And I think that's another part of what we're invited to do. If we take it from the perspective of John the Baptist, that as we go out into the world, of course, as we look into the eyes of each other, are we seeing the Spirit descend on these people around us and on the people That it's not just, oh, I'm going to come and do this good thing because you really need that. You know, you get a little bit of that sometimes in people that I'm coming to be the savior. But to expect that we're going to see the Spirit descending, maybe in ways that we did not know. You know, I did not know this person, and suddenly I saw the Spirit descending on them in some way, and to be able to point that out. Because sometimes people don't see it in themselves. You know? And we go back to Isaiah. Just to this or not just to that, but to that, you know.
Me?
Yeah, you. I really think it's you. I shared yesterday, and I close with a reflection sharing a perspective that has come to me through an agency. It's called the Peasley Community Center, and they themselves, that Peasley was a great school, and then they were going to close it, and then they did close it, and there was, of course, much protest around that, but that didn't work. And so the 14 mothers of the Peasley Neighborhood Center raised money and bought the building, and then the programs began and all that kind of thing. And they very much have this model of the circle, like you come into the circle. And I remember we were at our event, and it was one of the first of those in the pandemic where you go virtual, so this is going to be online. And always they have somebody from the board talk about their own experience and invite people to share in that, in their resources and finances and stuff like that. And I was talking about how Peasley always had the circle, and they have the circle, and it's the and then Bonnie, who was one of these founding mothers, she goes, it's not we have the circle, Ed, you have the circle. You're part of the circle. Mm-hmm. You know? And I suddenly just like, I am. I'm part of the circle. But they have this notion that anybody who comes through their doors has something to offer. And they're very excited about finding out what that is. And I just invite us to think about that anybody we encounter has got something to offer, and that we have the opportunity then to point that out and foster that and let them know that we recognize what's going on with them and that it's a good thing. Again, it's just been a real pleasure to spend the weekend. I look forward to, looking over your shoulders as you continue on your journey. Want to find ways to, I know Randy's taking much notes, and there were notes taken during the event, and I have some, to try to keep that synthesized and make sure everybody gets a chance to be on board and do their input. I will get to ride with Randy back to Cincinnati, and I'm sure we'll continue to talk. I recognize that something, the spirit that's descended here, probably some long time ago.